Sai Ram. And we'd like to invoke Swami's presence. We don't have to up here because you're invoking it in your heart, so it's streaming in here. But dear Swami, we offer this talk to you. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity of being here with your wonderful devotees, our brothers and sisters. It was an experience too much for words. To be invited, to be in the midst of, to feel the love, to see all the organization of it, to feel Swami's presence, to see him live in the hearts of other people, just to be with each other and be able to sing to him and hear stories about him is so precious. So Sharon's going to give a little reading about that.
And I too want to thank all of you. You're really stalwart souls to endure and to come here early in the morning for the last day. And it really is it's a treasure when we can all come together. It's something very precious. It charges us, it reinvigorates us, it gives us the courage, and we have to go back to our daily lives, to problems and troubles and obstacles and challenges. But maybe, hopefully, we feel a little stronger and we're able to face them and feeling the love that was generated here. Thank you so much for your beautiful smiles and all the loving hugs I got from the women. Not from the men, from my husband.
Okay, but I got some hugs from the men.
Oh.
and not the women. Okay.
I'm going to read one of the beautiful poems. Baba often recites a Telugu poem or his own creation poem at the beginning of a discourse, and he sings these beautiful songs. They're really poems, and this one expresses how precious the moment is when we can all come together in his name. So this is actually written in poetic form. Devotees dancing in ecstasy, praising God's glory. Melodies scintillating, reverberating, such a day. Devotees singing in God's adoration in grand togetherness, serving them delicious dishes with love. Such a day. Devotees having come to us, delivering discourses on God's deeds. Such a day. Such is the day, a real, worthy day. The rest of the days are dead days. What else can I say? What else, pious members of this august assembly?
So, really, how precious it is that we know Swami and that we're here to adore Swami in many, many different ways. So everybody had a chance to feel and experience him in some ways. And now, the closing. You know, Friday was Brahma. Saturday was Brahma. Sunday was Vishnu. And today is Shiva, dissolution. He's bringing us back into his heart. And he said that, I'm calling my devotees now, come back home, come back home. And so all of this, like a great Buddhist painting, will be coming down. Beautiful tribute to Shirdi, wonderful picture of Swami, wonderful chair. All of it come up, it'll come down, and all of us will move back into life. Is there something about the impermanence of life? Is it sad? Do we mourn it? Or is there something to rejoice in Shiva, in Swami Shiva, dissolving, making the dance, and letting us not get caught in the dance? What can we do to release ourselves so all we see is the impermanence? And we begin to see the permanence in the impermanence. We see it all flow back, flow across, flow through us like Swami's flute, and not to touch it like a Dr. Hislop. And I'm going to play a little a film clip about Dr. Hislop. He said, don't dip your hand in the stream of karma, but sit back and watch the dance, watch Shiva's dance, and watch the permanence in the impermanence. The impermanence is always there. It's always changing. But that's what's always. And just watch it because it's so grand. What a grand creation. And so There's a tinge of sadness from us because we've been treated like big deals, and you've been so nice to us. I can assure you that if you smile as nicely and talk as sweetly to anybody on the street as you did to us, they will feel like kings. And queens. The problem is, when I take my morning walk and I say, Sai Ram, oops, hello, you know, because they don't know Sai Ram, you know, they're suspicious. So you can get turned off pretty quickly. But let's keep the innocence when we say hello to people, because it's beautiful. It gives them such a gift. We have to thank you for giving us such a gift. When you smile at us, really, it's a real feeling. When do we come to 400, 500 people and get such a smile and such sweetness? And we wish that we can return it the same way. We're so happy. And so this first little clip will be a little bit sentimental and tear at the heartstrings. It'll invoke a little of that. It's a little bit like our goodbye. But this is a first little clip about Swami. Swami make you cry or what? You know, our avatar, our guru who is omnipresent, what kind of gift is he giving us? I mean, we just watch him and we see complete detachment and complete love. And so the theme of this parting is to try to find a little bit of happiness in the departing, you know, in the Shiva, taking us back into the lingam. Shiva, who's master of emerging us out of and merging us back into the lingam. And this Swami is actually Shiva himself. It's too much for us to grasp, But to lay our eyes on him, we sense it. We know that he's in control. How wonderful. And so what is he teaching? Not to hold on to the world, but let it pass. Even this, let it pass. Let the shirdi and sai form come up, and then it'll be taken down, except it'll stay here always. And all of the world passing like this. And if we can step back and see it passing, we see the permanence in the impermanence. The passing is permanent. But if we step back, we just see the greatness of the creation, and to learn there's permanence in the impermanence, to find that permanence. And I'm going to tell you just a couple of quick stories about my experiences with Swami that helped teach me a little deeper about this permanence in the impermanence. And that if we learn to let go, and how Swami teaches us how to let go with the left hand, it should leave, and hold on with the right hand. And when the left hand leaves, when the world leaves, automatically, because that's your nature, the atmic brilliance will come. That's what he's teaching us, and we have to continue to understand that there's birth and death, but don't hold on to it. Let it pass and see the impermanence of the impermanence, and let go of it. How does he teach? First, after shocks us, shocked me, my God, he actually lives beyond time and space. He's birthless and deathless and creation, and is the source of creation. My God, I never believed in this lifetime I could see such a thing. And then he pricks us a little bit. If that's the case, do something in action to show it. You know, the thought, unity and thought, word and deed. Well, a deed is first thing. If you start acting, you'll begin to think a little better. So we're asked to start a center. And I talked to you briefly about that. Who wants to start a center? I thought at that time, you know, people would come in and disturb you. You would rather watch a football game and they want to come and chant or something. Or they would bring the dirt on their feet into your carpet or whatever you think. Be disturbed by other people. But if you did, I mean, we stepped out to Swami, 1,000 million steps came back. People from all over the world come. Brother Venkat had been there. He gave a wonderful talk. People came with their energy of Swami, and slowly it build, so that you walk into the house and you just feel the great peace of Swami's presence. It's so wonderful. Next, book company. Swami gave me this book, and he literally gave me the book, of course. And I asked him who should publish, and he said, you should publish it. And I said, I'm not a businessman. I told you this. And he says, I'm not a businessman either. So there's nothing more to do but after work as a psychiatrist to go into the back room and lick stamps and take care of the invoices and carry the boxes and stand in line at the post office being bumped and jumped. What's better work? Being be humble, be harmless, be upright, forbearing, have no pretense, and be free from the bondage of desire. Have no pretense. So he's teaching us, there, big deal psychiatrist, and then a little deal, a book taker to the post office. That's how it was. And it was better for me to be a little deal taking books to the post office. It was a great honor. So that there was a little prick to the ego, you know, take care of these things. And then he began to encourage me to speak, which was a big fear for me. Now, Ted goes in front of an audience of 1 million people a day for 40 years. I mean, what training is that? What is that? I can be in a little cubicle just going, mm-hmm, and that's enough. Every once in a while, I have to say something. And you hope you learn something from Swami. But it teaches a little bit of detachment, because for 40 years, people come with a lot of energy in the pain, you know, in the suffering, and you have to learn to receive it with care, to release it yourself. You have to be in it with a person to release it, to love, and not to hold on to it. So to be able to watch the impermanence, but still be caring. It's not it's not impossible. That is, that when you give up the attachment, then the love naturally comes. It's just like the other side of it. If you give up the holding to a place, and you let go, you're free. And Swami tells us, and Buddha says, then your compassion comes. Then your love comes. That's the way to practice love. You have to be aware of the holding. When Dr. Hislop was in the process of dying, I would come in. We had a chance to see him and take care of him in San Diego. You know, Dr. Hislop was the first president of the Psi Council in the U.S. For about 20 years, he was a powerful man. Swami used to tell us that he lived 5 previous lifetimes in the Himalayas and that he had 6 degrees. Jack used to laugh. He says, I only have 1 degree, but Swami kept on saying, I have 6 degrees. I don't know where they came from. So Swami knows something we don't know. But Jack had an illness. I'm not going to tell it. I'm going to show something later of Jack's passing. Jack had to watch himself decline from a powerhouse. He could stand up like this and speak like a lion for days. I said, Jack, would you ever prepare? He said, no. I mean, I have to prepare. I give you this. I fall back on videos. I don't fall back on it because it's the greatest thing in the world to see. But Jack would stand up any place and growl like a lion, you know. But he then got ill and he had to watch his body decline. Swami, are you going to take him quickly? Well, he just lingered there for 9 months watching himself decline from a lion to not being able to sit up in bed. You know, it'll happen to all of us. We have to see the birth, the death, the birth, the death, and not to touch it. And I would say to Jack, Jack, aren't you a little upset? You know, I knew something about psychology of dying, you know, that there are stages, you know, denial, anger, and, bargaining, and this and that. I says, aren't you angry? He looked at me innocently, like a little child. I mean, when we let go, we finally become like a little child. He said, should I be angry? I says, no, Jack, excuse me. But he didn't ask it, you know, in defiance. He acted like a little baby. Should I be? Maybe I better learn something from you, Sam. Excuse me, Jack. I don't mean that. Erase that thought. Erase that. Well, how do we practice this detachment? Swami throws us into the world, and we have to learn. There are certain ways of learning. I know early on, when I thought I had to start learning something about Swami's teaching because I was asked to speak, that really puts the fire in you. You may or may not have to speak, but you should learn, just like everybody should learn, his words and try to understand how to represent him, especially if Ted and Jody are successful. You know, if they spread a few words around, and if you spread a few words around, people will come to the center. As far-fetched as that seems, Swami actually is an avatar, and it could take only 1 minute, everything could explode. Are we ready? So I would sit in meditation. First of all, quiet. Secondly, it would be between 3 and 6 in the morning, like Swami said. I took this on as a discipline. I've done it for 40 years. I would sit for an hour, hour and a half, and I'd sit cross-legged, and I would practice soham, because I had heard too many professors talking, and I knew that I wasn't going to find answers intellectually. I just knew that because I had so much intellectual interest beforehand. Swami said, so hum. So I went, so hum. And in this simple little so hum, you take something in and you release it. That's a fundamental release. So hum. If we can understand that and be in touch with it, so hum. Because the release is very, very important. When I said, Jack, aren't you angry? He said, no, should I? Should I be? And then he said, you know, Sam. Oh, I said, Jack, do you see Swami? Is he paying you a visit? He says, no, I didn't see him today. But sometimes it's more important to know what not to hold on to. It's important to know what to hold on to, Swami, but sometimes important to know what not to hold on to. And he would say, Sam, old boy, never dip your hand in the stream of karma. Here he's dying and seeing his life pass away, and he's teaching me, never put your hand in the stream of karma. Don't believe it. I put my faith in Swami, and I'm just going to let him take wherever the stream takes me. You know, this is a hero, and he's going to say something to you at the end. We're going to resurrect him and have him, a powerhouse guy, tell us a little message at the end about What happens when we finally release and release and release and release? So hum. And then sitting, and from so hum, I began to take on a mantra. Because it's a subtle vibration, sound vibration, very, very subtle. So if we get into om, om, or om Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai, om Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai, om Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai, or om, om Bhur Bhuvasuvaha Tat Saditur Varenyam. When we get into that, first it becomes like words, but we can move into it and we can release into it. Just like if you breathe out, you can release into that. There's subtle release into the vibration. And then I would think, and that thinking would bring the energy up, up into the mind someplace. And I would learn how to think, get tired of thinking, and then release it. Releasing thought, learning how not to think. That's a very, very wonderful exercise. Learning this, trying to understand something, then learning how to release the thought. And then bringing it into your everyday life. Let people bother you and see if your breath and if your mantra and if your release of thought can save you. Psychiatrist has all day long just to do that. To say, how are these releases that I'm learning allow me to stay away from all the energy and the friction of the world? Well, somebody's telling me and they're crying and they're weeping and I go, om. I don't tell them, you know, om. Om Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai, Om Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai. And if you can stay clean, your compassion can come. You can see, hear more clearly, your compassion can come. So one of the hardest times, I was asked to speak at a Seva conference in June of 2002. And I was asked to speak about personal transformation. And I didn't know much about personal. I knew words, but I didn't have actual inner experience that lit me up to say, oh, there really is a fundamental qualitative change that goes on. Boom, it happens. So I was nervous about that. And then I, you know, had a lot of ego. And so I didn't want to flub up in front of Swami, if he was going to be there, and my friends, who, you know, I had managed to fool into believing that I knew something. Because I never talked to them very much, you know. So that's a good way to fool them. Once you open your mouth, whoo, you'll give yourself away. So, but I had to open my mouth. And there were 15,000 people in the Purnachandra. And I remember how nervous I was. So Swami puts the heat on. I was going to be supposed to speak in the afternoon. So I come down thinking I have a few more minutes to sweat by myself. And then they said, there's going to be a change in the plan. You're speaking now. Oh, my God. The velocity of sweat. Phew. It was the Ganges coming out of Shiva's head, you know. Sam, have you turned into Shiva? I said, no, I'm just scared. So, and then they says, no, change of plan after lunch. So I had to go back and sweat. And I remember walking to the Purnachandra saying, Swami, nobody would, I would do this for nobody, Swami, nobody but you. And I'm welcoming. And I'll just have to go with an empty mind, and you have to do it, Swami. I didn't give my, I gave myself maybe a C minus on that one. What?
A.
An A. not the way I felt. No. Really, it was a C minus. She's my wife. She protects me, actually, like a lion. If I should. Well, she wants me to be happy. But I knew that I didn't take it very well. But I was trying to release it, and it's hard to release when it's really intense like that. I would use everything that I learned. I mean, I was trying to bring up, by that time, I using certain muscles, and who's it, Richard maybe knows something, trying to raise the energy up, trying to bring it into the chest and up, and trying to just relieve it, you know, just breathe it out. Like, all of these releases are very, very important. When it happens, it's your power. In August 1998, I was at the ashram and I felt my heart starting to jump. I had a faulty heart valve and I knew it was deteriorating, and my heart started to skip beats, and I wanted to talk to Swami about it. And by, you know, by these mere wonderful coincidences that you didn't imagine. I'm sitting there with just one other person. So I said, Swami, what about my heart? He said, your heart's okay, but your rhythm isn't very good right now. So that made me feel a little better. I went home, and within 6 months, I had to have surgery. Now, thinking I'm a big deal psychiatrist, but being beaten up a little bit by Swami, so I wasn't such a big deal, I had to go through the process of being a patient. The doctor becomes a patient. So I went into the doctor's office, and I went in for an x-ray, and as I'm walking, I was used to wear suspenders. And as I was walking, the nurse came up and back me, took my suspenders and went, wham, bank, you know, bunk. She was just playing with me. But if I would, she knew I was a psychiatrist, or I was one of the doctors in there, she would never have done that. But I was just, you know, little Sammy, boom, so she was playing with me. I mean, what a rude awakening. You have to stand in line for your x-ray when you used to order these things. You're standing in line, and you become, nothing. So, and that's everything. You know, it's wonderful. But in that place, if you release and you even see that your life could go, I had a special vision of Swami. I could see him as Shiva. When you think you could die, because you could die, and we've held on to Swami and we've released into him in many of the ways, in our everyday life, we have to release and take him in and say his name. Saying his name is a very good way. It brings you to a position where you can watch a little better. It holds you a little away from the world. So, in these kinds of releases, then you see when you're in real crisis that Swami is with you. Jack Hislop saw it, and many, many, many people see it. It's the strength. Everything else drops away. There he is. So I would watch some video of him, and this is how he looked to me. Let's just see if I can get it going here. This is Mahashivratri.
Shivaya Namo.
I'm going to really quickly jump because we just have a couple more minutes. I want to show you Dr. Hislop. I told you a little bit about him, his release as he was dying. Swami had him die over a period of 9 months. And when I asked him, he knew it. He knew maybe there's more karma I have to go through. And each day you release more and more into Swami. And then I had an interview with him 4 months before he died. Because I said, Jack, would you be willing and interested to talk to the devotees now at this stage? He said, I would love it. He wanted to talk to you, and this is his advice.
Is that something special that somebody should proclaim that, or that we believe that he actually is God? Is that a special event?
I think that's a special event, Sam. And all the other teachers that I have been involved with, none has made that claim. The claim that God is a divine preceptor, and that they are traveling with God on the path of spirituality. But none has ever made the claim that I am God, period. No.
Does this give a special potency to his message?
I don't see how it cannot fail to, especially when you look at the companion statement. Because he says, yes, I am God, but so are you. The only difference being that I know it and you don't know it. And you can know it because you are God.
You know, after your long life of spiritual searching, if you could summarize the essence of the wisdom you've gained in a sentence or a phrase, could you do that?
Yes, it's very simple. The wisdom that I have gained through my spiritual life with Buddha and with Baba and with others too is that the primary path to spiritual opening is devotion to God. All the other things, meditation, action, and so on, have all fallen away in terms of importance.
That devotion is
devotion is the primary,
most direct way.
Yeah.
Is that what you're holding on to now?
Yes.
In what form does it take?
It takes the form of always seeing Swami wherever I am, and recognizing that he is in me, and that if I see him standing there, then I recognize that I am in him too. So I visualize Swami a great deal. I see him.
That's really something. Giving up so much, he sees Swami in himself. That happens to us at a certain stage. And I see myself in Swami, and I see Swami in you. These are extraordinary visions that will come to us. And here at the end of his life, he's telling us, he had 4 months to live, the power to tell us something like that. Everything else falls away, because when you're by yourself in your hospital bed or wherever you are, what else do you have but yourself? And what about yourself is real? It's love. The Swami keeps on telling us it's love. And it takes the form of being with Swami and realizing he's in you and you're in him. It's an extraordinary thing. So we have to prepare for that day. And Swami tells us we prepare. We all came to Jack his final day. He was unconscious. We gathered around his bed. We began to chant Om. 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 It's a very powerful vibration. And his mantra was Om Sai Ram. And although he was struggling, he was unresponsive but struggling with his His breath quieted. He recognized it. He was like a little deer in the woods hearing something. You could see it in him. And within a half a minute, he went off. He released himself. That's what we're going to do. We're going to release ourselves. The eighth chapter of the Gita says, at the time of death, you shut down the senses, you bring yourself to the heart chakra, you raise it up into the sixth chakra, and through Om, you escape. I didn't even know that when we started to chant Om, but that's actually the way this happens. We have to begin to learn this. I want to, in our leaving, be with you by chanting Om three times. Because in this Om, this is our subtle body. We'll experience ourselves in our subtle body in the Om. And in that, we'll give a goodbye hug to each other, a hello hug to Swami. We'll be together for a moment before we pass. And we'll realize our subtle body becomes one. So let's chant the Om a little bit. It'll be just like resting with Jack. He'll come also in the Om. All of our great gods and goddesses and Swami, the highest, will be there. So we'll do three Oms, and then I want to play one last little thing, and we're done. Ready? Shanti, shanti, shanti. How beautiful to hug you, a goodbye hug and a hello hug, as we're all together in a very subtle form, because some of us could release into the Om. That is your subtle form, and the more we're releasing into this, it actually is real. The trick is that it's real, but it feels like it's nothing, because it's so subtle. And in all the great mystical traditions, the highest is nothingness. Swami would say, everything is nothing, and nothing is everything. And so we get into the Om, we're very, very subtle. Let's do this. Every time we say Om, realize that you're moving in and you're with each other, loving them. And now, to our Swami who's teaching us these messages, and who is the master of life and death, I want to play one last, and then we'll say Sai Ram. This is our sweet Swami.
Amén a todas las religiones y a todas las naciones. Reconozcan y acepten a todas las religiones como los caminos que llevan a los hombres al mismo destino. El que vive en la tierra debe, primero, ser hombre, y después tiene que aprender el camino que lleva a Dios y descubrir la dicha de ti. Todo ser necesita amor e inhala amor, ya que el amor es el aliento vital. Cada uno es la encarnación del amor. Tengan fe en Dios y ámenlo. El amor es Dios. Ustedes están destinados. Destinados a ser exitosos en todas sus metas si tienen fe en Dios. Cada tarea, no importa cuán difícil sea, puede ser realizada con la gracia de Dios.
Was in the language of love, so we all understood it. And with that, Sharon and I want to say thank you to all our brothers and sisters. Thank you to the organizers of this event. And thank you to the doer and the inspiration, our wonderful Swami, Sai Ram.
Thank you, Dr. Sandweiss and Sir Sharon Sandweiss. It was wonderful sharing those videos with us.